Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. I hope you're having your good start to your day. Maybe you're going in a little late this morning. Just sit there with a cup of coffee and enjoy the conversation I'm about to have with one of my favorite guests, Jonathan Cook, who's here with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. Definitely helped build this city over the last several decades already. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Good morning, Meg. We definitely have done our part.
No doubt about that. So let's talk about that and your company and who you are and how long you've been around.
So you want all the information?
You betcha. Yes, of course. Well, you never know. Someone could be listening the first time. You never know.
Right. So I own Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. We've been around since 2005, and we specialize in whole house renovations. So that's anything from like kitchens, bathrooms, painting, trim, interior, exterior decks. Too much to list. And then we have Jonathan's Flooring, which is a full retail flooring store.
And so you have a showroom for that.
So we have a showroom for that for customers. Yep. To come in, pick stuff out. We have samples for, you know, anywhere from like hardwood, tile, LVP, carpet. We have a pretty big selection. We have cabinets there they can pick out, countertop samples, paint samples. I'll stop short of saying it's like a design studio because we're not really that, right?
Right.
Even though we'll help you with it along the way, but we try to have everything there so people can kind of look and pick stuff out and it really makes a big difference, right? Because depending on like how it looks in the store, it never looks same at your house, right?
Well, and also we've gotten into such a habit now of buying things online. It's not the same. I've looked at something and then I get it in my mail and I think, oh, that's not what it looked like.
I mean, just
online.
Forget completely about even it just looking different, right?
Right.
And just think about the quality of it.
Quality
and
colors.
Right, yes.
I
have this problem myself, even with my houses and stuff, that we can go to like on Amazon, right, and buy faucets or light fixtures and stuff, you know, cheaper a lot of times than you can get in the store. But every time I do it, and sometimes I get stuff and I'm happy with it, and other times, like I just recently got a sink because I was trying to get a gold sink to match a gold trim out in the house.
Oh, wow, a gold sink?
Right, yes.
And, wow, I want to meet that person.
I do it quite often.
Really?
Me personally, like when we do gold trim outs, because gold's becoming popular.
Really?
Like the brush gold's becoming a really hot commodity, right?
Isn't that interesting?
But I don't really see anybody put gold sinks in.
Huh.
And I personally think that like if your faucet's gold in your kitchen,
right?
And your lights are gold and your trim out's gold, your handles are gold, and then you put a stainless steel sink in, it just really competes with it.
I tell
customers this, like in my opinion, like if we're doing a gold trim out, we have two options. We can do a white porcelain sink,
mm-hmm.
or we can do a gold sink. But if you're doing a stainless steel sink
that
with a gold
clash.
Faucet, but I see it all the time.
Huh. See, that
as
would clash.
much as gold's becoming a hotter trim out item, right?
Right.
I see a lot of people still putting, you know, stainless steel sinks in with gold faucets. And another thing, and this just a personal preference, I see a lot of people doing stainless steel appliances with
mm-hmm.
gold trim out.
And weird.
I'm just like, we have two. When I say it out loud like that, it doesn't look weird in the kitchen necessarily. I don't think you would really notice it unless
right.
you're thinking about it.
Right.
But and the appliances are very hard, right? Because you don't want to go with like a cheap white appliance or cheap, you know, black. So you really got to go with something like the Forno or Express line that has like the white matte finish with gold handles.
And well, there you go. That would be nicer.
I mean, that's the way I see it.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be nice. Well, my mother used to say there's no accounting for taste.
Right.
But you do have that showroom. So what are the hours there and where is it located?
So we're on Palafox. We're right there at Palafox and Nine Mile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 9320 North Palafox Street. And like I said, that's up in the north end of the county, close to Nine Mile Road. I like to think we're centrally located because
right.
like, people from Pace can get to us, Canton can get to us. And if you're downtown, you can come straight up Palafox and you can get to us pretty easily. So we try to be centrally located. So that's why we pick that spot.
Well, you can tell already that he is an expert on remodeling and construction and flooring here in Pensacola. So this is Jonathan Cook with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. And this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. He's our expert this morning. So take advantage of him by texting in your question or comments. Maybe you're thinking about a design or you're curious about the different types of flooring. All you have to do is text it in at 850-437-1620. And you can also make a comment. So this is an interesting comment. Tell Jonathan to do a good show or I'll take it back. And that's from Dallas.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming you know Dallas.
Right.
Okay, so you can comment too.
Right.
Okay. Ask Jonathan the trends, and it's from another listener. Ask Jonathan the trends about replacement windows aesthetically. That's a big word, aesthetically. Mm. So, yeah, replacement windows. I know folks probably have looked at replacing, especially because we're in the season now, and some people are probably looking at getting stronger windows, but also the design. And, yep. and houses are so different. They're the front of the homes.
I do think the aesthetic goes a long way with windows. And so here's the thing about it, right? Like, after Hurricane Sally, they changed it where everything has to be high-impact glass.
Right.
And that's what everybody's focused on now. They're like, oh, is the windows high-impact? So you either have to do high-impact glass, or you can do regular double-insulated like we've always done,
mm-hmm.
and you can put a hurricane shutter over it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and a lot of builders, you'll see a lot of builders just do regular double-insulated, and they'll do the fabric shield over it because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an extra step, right, of having to get your fabric shield out, put it over it. And when the inspector comes, you have to have it on site and show, hey, I have double-insulated and fabric shield, or I have high-impact glass. And that's pretty much where everybody stops with windows, especially I've noticed it with builders a lot. They stop right there, you know, and you'll see white vinyl windows, and they all look the same. Essentially, looking at it, you don't know if it's high-impact or
I would have no idea.
Or double-insulated. Yeah. But past that, like when I'm designing my house, is I think more past that with the aesthetics, right? Like we used to get windows with like crossbars, right? And it would mm-hmm. be like six crossbars on the
right,
top, six on
yeah.
the bottom, right? So I like just one single crossbar, just mm-hmm. one vertical bar through the window. It just makes it look a little bit different.
It's a cleaner look in a way, and actually it's more open, right?
Right. So so most people now get no crossbars. They just get clear glass.
That's what I've noticed.
And it's supposed to be like a very clean look.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just the one crossbar gives a little bit of aesthetic to it, right? And then another thing is also the color of your windows. Like I like using black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to get all black windows or all white. You can get black on the outside, white on the inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And that's very common because, you know, like white and black is a very popular color for houses these days. But a lot of houses will have like black trim out, you know, so you can get your outside of your windows black. So there's a lot of things aesthetically that you can do with windows, or even just get double hung windows. So the top and the bottom both open.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to lower the top window down, you can lower the top window down and not just the bottom.
Right.
So aesthetically, there are a lot more stuff that goes into windows besides just, you know, am I getting double insulated? Am I getting high impact glass? But definitely think about the color of your windows, because that's something very easy. And the price does go up,
mm-hmm.
right? Because obviously white is the most common, so it's going to be the cheapest. And you're going to pay a little bit more for colored. But you can get tan, brown, you get all sorts of colored windows.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and when you're talking about vinyl windows, see, it's not like, you know, 50 years ago with all the windows that were going in were wood.
Right.
And you say, well, if I'm going to paint my house, I'll just paint my windows, right?
Right.
We're not really painting vinyl windows anymore. So you really do need to think about that color going
mm-hmm.
into it. And, you know, white windows are just so common.
Well, sure. Well, how do you know when to replace your windows? What are the signs? I mean, besides being just flat out broken. But, I mean, when do you know it's time? Especially if you have wood, because obviously we have a lot of older homes here. So a lot of folks may have wood windows, wood
right.
panels.
Well, so most people are going to say it's like when your windows are not efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they're losing energy or not efficient. So we know if you have older wood windows, those are not efficient.
Right.
If you want to keep them,
you always
can
feel
them.
That little breeze
right,
coming into the cracks, the cold air.
Now, they have wood windows that are double insulated that
mm-hmm.
you can get. But really, it's like when your windows become not efficient. So that used to be like when you had older windows and you get double insulated windows.
Mm-hmm.
But now a lot of people with double insulated windows are replacing them because they want the high impact glass. It's much more energy efficient, but it also holds up to like hurricanes and,
right.
you know, like more of like debris flying around hitting your window. So you don't necessarily have to cover them up with like, you know, a hurricane shutter or a fabric shield. That's the idea behind it.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay. No, that sounds good. So I guess one of the other things I was thinking about is we've gotten spoiled these days with everything being a standard size, right? So I'm curious, because it makes me think of these older homes or different people where we get hotshot designers that are going to do something quote-unquote different. How is that as a challenge for you in terms of when you come upon a window and the frame is not, you have to special order? How does that work when it's not something that's standard size?
Right. No, that's very common.
Is it really?
Especially with the older houses or even brick houses, just like getting the window in or out. A lot
yeah.
of times, like if we do window replacement on older homes or brick homes, we want to order the window a little bit smaller so we can get it in the brick easier.
Oh, right.
Right. So we just have to go out and measure them. So we just measure them and order them, and
mm-hmm.
then we can order any size we want. The price does go up a little bit when we're ordering them, and it takes us, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to get them.
I was going to say, because it's custom designed, so it would take a little longer. But typically, if it is a standard, how long does it take to... order them?
So if it's something standard, we can get it pretty quick in a couple mm-hmm. weeks, right? Mm-hmm. If it's more of a not a standard size, it might take us 6 weeks to get it. But you also have to think, like, when you schedule your job, you're probably going to be a month out anyways.
Right.
So if you call us, and I'm sure most window companies are the same way, and we don't really specialize in windows, but we do it. But like, if you were to call us, say, hey, I want to get windows in my house, you're probably going to be 4 or 5 weeks out anyways. So that's why I tell people when they're like, oh, it's going to take 6 weeks to get them. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not even going to be here for 4 or 5 weeks anyways.
Right,
so,
right, right.
You know, by the time the windows get here, I'll be ready to put them in.
Yep, it'd be perfect timing, yeah.
So it'd be fine with me, you know. But if you have a window busted out in your house and you, like, need it, like, tomorrow, we're hoping it's a standard size, we can go get one off the shelf.
Do you do emergency repairs, by the way?
So, you know, in a situation like that, we would get a window and put in. But if it's just the glass, we would refer them to a glass company.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot of glass companies around, like Emerald Coast Glass or A-Plus mm-hmm. Glass. And they can come out and they can take just the glass insert for the double. Like, right, and, okay. and replace it. So in most cases like that, it's usually a situation we would refer them to a glass company and say, hey, call this guy and he can come just put a panel in for mm-hmm. you, you know. And that's not something we do, but we would just refer them to somebody like that.
Okay. We're talking with our expert, Jonathan Cook, with Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. If you've got a question for him, text it on in at 850-437-1620. So one of the things that you specialize in is remodeling. Are you seeing a trend in terms of when people are remodeling their garages or they have that second or third bedroom? Are you seeing a trend of any kind of specific? Are people doing dens for TV watching or what are you noticing?
I mean, I haven't personally seen a lot of it. I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah.
We haven't done like a lot of like theater rooms.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there was a period there that it seemed like everybody was getting a theater room, right?
And I think sometimes that goes along with the economy when they have disposable income.
Yeah, maybe
right?
Now's not the time.
Maybe now's not the time. Right. But I'm sure there's quite a few people out there are doing it. We haven't had any recently where we've done like, you know, big theater rooms. Of course, we see a lot of trends with like paint, accent mm-hmm. walls, you know, and obviously flooring and stuff like that. But probably not like big theater rooms, but it's a good idea, right? I mean,
right.
Like with football season, Howard said football season.
I know, he was asking
about. I'm not
about...
a big watcher, but.
I have a few friends that have what they call their man caves.
Right. I mean, if you want to paint it.
With all the colors of their team and all kinds of paraphernalia all over the room.
I'm honestly
and all that
probably
stuff.
The perfect guy to come and do like a football themed room because I don't have a team. I'll do any team.
You may be the only person I have ever yeah. met that does not have a college
I don't have
football
time.
Team.
I don't have time.
Where
am I going to sit around and watch football?
I get it.
Well, I didn't even know football season started.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all, we got to help this man.
I do not have time for that.
We got to get you involved, buddy.
No, and I want to be neutral. You know, if somebody calls me and wants me to paint their house to Alabama colors, I want to be neutral. So I'm mm-hmm. just going to stay neutral, you know?
Yeah, you're right, because I couldn't do that.
Right, yeah. I got to be right and neutral.
I couldn't do that. So one of the things you specialize in is flooring as well. So as we've had these terrible rains and tropical, you know, it's almost like tropical squalls, a friend mm-hmm. of mine called them, with this horizontal rain, and people are getting leakage into their homes that comes in through the door, the kids leave the door open, the dog open. So what do you do with all that when you get all that moisture coming into your home? Because there's not much you can, I mean, it just happens. It's part
right.
of living,
right?
Right,
no, it does. And honestly, in some of them situations, your AC is your best friend because AC pulls the moisture out of the house for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always, you know, the one of the best things. But we have had quite a bit of rain, and I tell you what worries me more is the moisture, like, under the house than in the house.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
Because
explain that.
A lot
mean?
Of times when the moisture gets in the house, your AC will suck and dry it out. Now, if you have clear water penetrating and getting in your house, then that needs to be addressed, whether that's, like, you know, like we were talking about, like, an old window that needs to be
mm-hmm.
replaced.
Sometimes you get the leaks on the edges.
Yeah, it could just be weather stripping around your door needs to be replaced, or maybe better weather stripping at the bottom, or flashing mm-hmm. on your roof. I mean, and some of those things are not something that we would necessarily even do, right? Like, if your roof is leaking, we're going to refer you to our roofer.
Right.
And have them come out and take care of that. We're not even going to address that. But I'll tell you, it needs to be addressed. Like, hey, you need to call this person and get your roof, you know, reflashed in. So that's one thing I would address, any water getting in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's us or it's a plumber or an AC guy or anybody, right, and get that fixed. And then past that, we've seen a lot of off-grade houses with, like, a lot of moisture under the houses.
Interesting.
And I do think our moisture content is higher than usual, partially because we build a lot. We've built a lot in the last 10 years.
Sure.
And every time we cut a tree down, that's one tree that's not absorbing water no more.
Right.
Every time we pour a concrete slab, that's a 1,500 or 2,000 square foot of ground that's not absorbing water.
Mm-hmm.
Has no one else noticed we have holding ponds everywhere?
Yes, I have. Noticed
yes.
that, yes.
You can't even build three houses now, a minor subdivision without a holding pond.
Wow.
Or showing how you're going to redirect the water to some sort of county drainage, right?
Mm-hmm.
that's not a coincidence.
Right.
That's because we have more water sitting on the ground because we're cutting down a lot of trees and we're pouring a lot of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
We got apartment buildings going up everywhere. What do you think happens
like
to all
it,
that all land, all that trees that get cut down, all that concrete that gets poured? What do you think happens to the water? The water sits on the ground. And then it gets in the air and becomes moisture and gets under our houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have moisture that builds, and that moisture can rot out our subfloors, our floor joists. And so it really is more important than ever to make sure you have good ventilation around the house, you know, let airflow get under there and dry
mm-hmm.
it. And in some cases, you might need to have like under the house encapsulated. Again, that's not something we even do, right?
Right, right.
But I'll refer people to that. And I'll say, hey, you might need to get your house encapsulated.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a variety of so many different things. Yeah, it could be an issue outside of the house, an outside
right.
moisture issue. And sometimes that could be more damaging than moisture in the house.
Now, when you say encapsulated, what do you mean by that?
So they're coming and seal the underneath of the house.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To stop
just
any moisture.
It.
Right, to seal it. And like I said, that's not really something we do. That's something
right.
I would refer to somebody else.
What are some telltale signs that you do have a problem? How would you be able to know? How would you know that?
Usually, like when your subfloor is like feeling soft.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah.
But past that, it'd be good to look under your house
mm-hmm.
before it gets to that point, right?
Yeah.
Because once you get to that point, there's not much we can do other than rip the subfloor out and replace it.
Mm-hmm.
So we may come in there and rip your whole subfloor out and replace it. And then I'll say, hey, you also need to get encapsulated so it doesn't happen again.
Right.
So we can fix all the damage right now, but we need to address the reason why it happened. So it may be a two-part problem because a lot of the companies that encapsulate, they don't come out and like replace your subfloors, right?
Yeah,
so we would come out and do that part.
Everybody's so specialized now,
right.
So but you need the whole thing done, correct?
Yes, because some of those things are very important to do. And so like when you're talking about like an encapsulating under the house, it's not something I specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even want to take a shot at it, right?
Because
I don't want to mess it up and then your floors rot out again, right?
Right, of course.
But it's definitely an issue in our city.
Okay.
I think more so than people realize right now.
Okay, so if you have a place on the beach and you have a lot of exposure to moisture and that kind of thing, do you recommend a particular flooring that's better?
Well, see, the beach is actually different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the beach is actually different because the beach, most of those houses are built on pilings or built in a manner in which they expect that moisture.
Right.
The moisture we're seeing in a lot of these older off-grade houses, this is not moisture we were expecting 50 or 60 years ago when these houses were built.
Gotcha.
So now if they build something on the beach, they're preparing for that ahead of time. You know,
mm-hmm.
these houses up are on pilings. Actually, there's a really good breeze coming off the beach. It probably dries all of that really well, right?
Interesting. Yes, of course. Yeah, that
so
makes
you
sense.
So you would think it would be out there, but their problem is more so in our rural areas,
mm-hmm.
like Cantonment and you know, areas like that up in, you know, Beulah and
sure.
The west side of the county is where I see more of the problems.
So do you recommend a particular type of flooring that seems to kind of weather better, for lack of a better way to put it?
Right. So when we have like off-grade houses, right, so obviously we want to check the subfloor, make sure the subfloor is good. Personally, like when I do like, you know, sheeting or resheet the subfloors, a lot of times I will kills the wood with
mm-hmm.
an oil primer.
Oh.
So I'll seal the wood with an oil primer. So if it does get moisture, it stops it from rotting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then past that, we will use a WCP product when we put the new flooring in. So most of your vinyl plank or click lock flooring that's sold is an SPC. So it's
mm-hmm.
a stone based core.
Right.
It's a good product, but the problem is it's so dense that it doesn't let the wood breathe. It doesn't let any air get to the wood,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah.
So we will put like a WCP product in that's a lot lighter core, and it's actually a thicker floor, and it lets the wood underneath breathe. And so if any moisture does get to the subfloor, it lets the moisture out.
Huh, okay.
We still don't want moisture there, but if it does get there, we want it to be able to get out. We don't want to trap it.
Right. So interesting. It's such a science to all of this. I'm always fascinated, and I learn a lot from you, Jonathan.
I mean, believe it or not, I learn a lot, too.
Yeah,
like,
no,
just from doing it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's great.
Like, I mean, some of this I've just learned because I've had these problems.
Right,
and I'm
of course,
like, why is it doing this?
You
know, why is this subfloor right now, you know? And then we have to go back and figure it out.
Okay, we got another question from one of our listeners. Do you level off grade houses? And if so, do you have any type of estimate on what something like that would cost?
No, we don't. So if we're tearing the subfloors out and fixing them, we
uh-huh.
will jack the house and level it as best as we can.
And I see.
So we do a lot of leveling. But if you're just looking to get the house leveled, no. I mean, there's companies that come out, like foundation companies that would come out and do it. But in my experience, most time if the house is unleveled, then there's damage somewhere. There's
oh.
something rotting away. there's a reason why it's sinking or becoming unlevel, and we would address those structural issues of the house and fix them, yes.
Now, would you come out and do that? Do you do inspections or estimates for free? How does that work? So if someone wants you to come out and take a look.
We would come out and take a look at it and do a free estimate. Now, you also do have to keep in mind, if you have an older off-grade house, there is going to have some unlevelness to it, right? You go down in East Hill, and like a lot of these older Victorian-style houses, houses are not level,
no,
right?
They're not.
By any means. You're going to have natural settling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to get that out, right? You're going to go start jacking the house and leveling it, but you also have to keep in mind, like, you know, when you start jacking on a house, you're going to most likely crack your sheetrock, your doors aren't going to line up, your windows aren't going to line, because we're shifting the whole structure of the house at that point.
It affects everything.
Which is why I don't just go out and jack and level houses, because when we start doing that, there's going to be a lot of other items that are going to be affected along the way.
Of course,
you have to realize that up front. Like, you might get your house jacked and leveled, but you might have to reset all of your doors. You might have to reset all of your windows. You might have a lot of sheetrock to fix. You know, painting, you know, things like that. So it just depends on, like, how serious your house is. If it's falling down, then you don't have a choice. Like, you have to jack it up and fix it, and then we're just going to have to address these issues. If you're just talking about, hey, I walk through my house and I feel like it slants a little bit this way and it's like an inch or a couple inches, then I'm just going to say that's natural. Like, we can try to jack it up a little bit, but some of that's natural also, right?
Right, but if you're sliding into your sink.
If you're sliding into your sink, then you might just have to fix it and then address whatever problems happen afterwards,
there
right?
There you go. 850-437-1620. Jonathan Cook is our expert this morning. And if you have a question, please text it in. Got another one for you. Yeah. Have you ever built a modular home? If not, who do you recommend in our area to do that?
Well, when you say built a modular home, that sentence doesn't really go together, right? Because the thing about a modular home, it comes prefab, like it's already built,
gotcha.
Right?
Yes.
So we're talking about like a prefab, like I don't want to use the word mobile home, but it used to be we'd have mobile homes and now they have modular homes.
Gotcha.
So when we get like a modular home, as far as building a modular home, I take that as like, you know, it comes pre-built and they're going to set it, block it, skirt it, you know.
Putting the pieces together.
Right, putting the pieces together, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of your mobile home factories that you buy them from will have mobile home moving guys, and they will move them, they will tie them, block them. And there's really nothing for us to do there. We have done quite a few for people, though, that have purchased like a modular home, and then we will like install skirting on it. We will build decks on it, things like that. But the modular home itself should come pre-built, right? And then so all you're really going to need is just a mobile home guy to move it, level it, block it, tie it, and it's not overly expensive to get that done. And then you're going to need an electrician to hook the power up to it. And, you know, the whole thing is wired. So he's just putting the pole and hooking the line up. Plumber to hook your water pipe up. And then after that, you can call us and we can come build some decks for you on it.
There you go.
And that's really about all you got to do, right?
What's that number, by the way?
That's the whole point of getting is you skip that whole building process,
yes,
right?
Yes. So what's your number?
Right.
So you can reach you?
Yeah. So it's 850-332-5905.
Okay, got another question coming in, and I relate to this one. Will vinyl plank hold up well to dogs running around my house? They are big ones.
Some of it will, some of it won't. Right?
What do you recommend? And you've got the dogs and little kids.
The short answer is there's such a variety, right? Mm-hmm. You have really cheap vinyl plank that I don't think would hold up to anybody, right?
Right.
It's so cheap. And then you have vinyl plank that's really good quality and good product, and it would hold up to 10 dogs on it. So, yes, it will, but you got to make sure you get the right product. It just because you go to Lowe's or, you know, a box store and buy some vinyl plank off the shelf doesn't mean it's going to hold up. Now, I'm not saying they don't have good vinyl plank that would, but you got to do your research and make sure you get a good product. And if you get a good product, then yes, it will hold up to it for sure.
And that's a good thing about what Jonathan does is that you can make an appointment and you'll come out and take a look at someone's home. And if they're talking about remodeling or whatever, you're pretty good. He denies it, but he's a pretty good designer, I can tell.
I definitely do come out and do the free estimates, yes, and I'll definitely discuss with you on your options there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do estimates every Tuesday and Thursday. And I do, like, if somebody's going back and forth about something, I always encourage people, like, hey, get a couple estimates from me in particularly, but from other people too. But I'll write two or three options. And I'll say, I'll send you three options. I'll send you one for, you know, like a 6 millimeter vinyl plank, an 8 millimeter, and a 10. And then you can look at the difference, because our labor is going to be the same for all of them.
Right.
The only difference you're paying on your floor is just your material cost difference. So sometimes it's worth just get something a little bit nicer. It may only be 50 or 60 cents a square foot difference. It may not be this huge difference like you think, right? Because you're going to pay all the same labor and stuff like that, right?
But it may last a little longer.
It lasts longer. So I always encourage people to get a few estimates and then take all the information and pick something from there.
Okay. I can't believe it. We're already out of time.
I know, it went by quick.
Yes. Thank you so much to everyone listening this morning that sent in questions. Jonathan, want to tell them how to get in touch with you?
Right. So you can just stop by and see us at our showroom, 9320 North Palafox Street. You can give us a call at 850-332-5905 or look us up at jonathansflooring.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jonathan. Always a pleasure. I always learn so much. And if you're thinking about remodeling or maybe making a few changes, he's the one to call.
All right. See you next week.
Okay.